Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. This Halloween weekend will bring plenty of ghosts, goblins, and witches to your door, and you're probably expecting them. What you're not expecting, and certainly not wanting this weekend, or any other weekend for that matter, are scary little creatures. Spiders, water bugs, centipedes, ants, roaches, fruit flies, and mice. And really, depending on where you live, snakes or lizards are not uncommon. And for some of us, no matter how hard we try, we can't seem to get rid of them year to year. They're annoying. And sometimes they're even scary. So what do you do when you have these creepy, crawly critters coming into your home? Well, tonight we have the experts to help you understand why they're there and how to keep them out. My guests are Van Postel, president and owner of Blazin' Pest Control, and Charlie Hawkins, home improvement expert and assistant manager at Frager's Hardware. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I invite you to tweet me a comment or a question at HFisherWHUR or follow me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Van and Charlie, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I want to start with you, Van, because I just rattled off a long list of the creepy, crawly critters, from big to small, those with legs and those without. What is the most unusual pest that you've seen in someone's home, apartment, townhouse, single-family home, whatever?
The most unusual, I would probably have to say a black widow spider.
Really?
Really. And someone's basement, in a resident's basement, I ran across one. And it was kind of startling because normally you find those insects on the outside in like tires, unused grills, you know, things around the home on the exterior that normally the tenant or the homeowner rarely uses. So the inside, that was the most unusual.
Man, that's scary. So how did you deal with that?
Well, we have things that we use to capture them because they venomous. All spiders are venomous, but they have particularly black widows have an excess amount of venom in them. So you have to be real careful when you're handling those. So I always have my guys make sure that we wear the proper safety material, gloves, particularly to handle those. And we got jars that we just put them in a jar and we take them outside. Somewhere else, far away from the house.
Charlie, is there a particular time of year that you have customers coming in complaining about, you know, bugs or pests more than at other times of the year, and why?
Absolutely. You get a lot more traffic during the switching over of the season. So from winter into summer, a lot more insects, I would say, get a lot more active. They start to replicate more, mating and such. And also, right before the weather changes back to fall, most of the bugs are looking for a nice warmer home. You have that with insects and larger creatures such as mice, snakes, such as those things.
Man, oh man. And, you know, in this area, in the DMV, and particularly in the mid-Atlantic, I would imagine, Charlie, that you have a whole population of all kinds of things. This isn't California. This isn't necessarily the desert Southwest. So I would imagine you can get just about anything in a house.
Absolutely. We're not too far from very, like, large wooded areas and, you know, we're located in Southeast, so we have like the Potomac River and Anacostia River, and usually when you have those two things in close proximity, you have a lot more wildlife.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about dealing with pests, whether they are, you know, the four-legged kind, the eight-legged kind, whether they have furs, whether they have fur or whether they have scales or whatever you may be dealing with. If you have an issue, if you have a comment, if you have a question about dealing with pests in your house, give us a call. The experts are on the line to answer your questions at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Van, how do they get in? How do you keep, let's start with the bugs. I mean, it seems to me that spiders are the thing that are often problematic for a lot of people.
Well, I would say pest control is exclusive.
What do you mean by that?
You want to make sure that all the areas on the exterior of the home, such as gaps, cracks, and crevices, are sealed. I think it's hard because foundations, as time goes on, hairline cracks become larger and larger and larger. You know, so insects and mice don't need that much room to get into a facility. And then once they get into a facility, a home, apartment, or whatever, what have you, they're able to adapt. You know, a lot of the like rodents, particularly, they're very adaptable to the way we live. So the most important, the first step is exclusion. If you can't, if you're not able to obtain exclusion, I always recommend coming inside of your home. And sometimes you can see areas, especially at nighttime, because in the nighttime, during the daytime, that you can see the cracks and crevices go up in attics and so forth and so on. You can see like little small gaps depending on the insulation. So it's not kind of a one-size-fits-all method, but that is pretty much the standard in pest control.
We often hear a lot about water bugs or centipede kind of, you know, these really fast moving. They look almost hairy or the like. Either one of you guys can jump in. Where do they come from? Is it because of water, or is that just a name that we just grew up with?
Well, the water bugs, definitely is a very popular name. I'm sure they have more of a scientific name, but they're similar to mosquitoes as far as their habitat. They do like moisture. The centipedes that you see usually in your household, I believe they are called silverfish. The crazy thing about the silverfish are they eat a lot of insects, including spiders. So if you do a little bit of research, they actually encourage you not to kill them off if they're in your house, but who would like to see a centipede running across the wall?
Yeah, I'm not interested in having a pet centipede.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, in addition to what he just said, the water bug, the actual scientific name for it, we commonly see them like out on the sidewalks, specifically in D.C. You see them running around. Those are actually called Oriental cockroaches.
Oh, okay.
Right. So they like dark, damp areas. They're more prevalent in sewers, dark places, crawl spaces. They love those type areas.
So how do you
get roaches? And when they don't see, the thing is, when they don't have an abundance of food that they can eat, they will eat their own poop.
Oh my gosh!
And they will eat young, weaker or older roaches.
So how do you get rid of them?
It all depends. Most sprays work. However, I recommend being careful with a lot of sprays because sometimes the sprays can make you sick. So you might want to make sure any sprays you might buy from your local supermarkets or your home improvement centers, you want to make sure you read the label and follow it carefully. Because once you start spraying it, 99% of the material that you buy in those department stores are repellents, which means that you keep them from going out or coming in. But if they cross it, they get the materials on their legs, then they ingest it during grooming sessions. Because roaches actually clean it. They're actually clean, believe it or not.
Mm.
It's just that they harbor in filthy areas behind stoves, behind refrigerators, and so forth and so on. So we like to tell people, make sure you pull your refrigerator out, clean and sweep behind it, make sure there's no water spillages or food spillages. Also behind stoves, same thing. We never pull our stoves out, but you'd be surprised once you pull your stove out what you find behind it. So that is definitely a recommendation.
Mm. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. They're creepy and they're kooky. They are... Oh, that's the Addams Family. But anyway, creepy, crawly things in your house. You want them to stay outside, but sometimes they do get in. How do you get rid of them? We've had the experts on the phone. Let's talk to Lottie, calling from Bowie. Lottie, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Sure. Great subject tonight.
Thank
My
you.
My concerns, I have seasonal crickets in the house here, and I live in an in-unit townhome in Bowie. I tried mothballs. I don't think that helped. So what do you suggest?
Either one of you guys, jump right in, please.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Definitely. I'm also a Maryland resident, and I'm familiar with the type of cricket that you're talking about. The first thing I would do, mothballs is used for multiple reasons and multiple defense mechanisms for household bugs just like this. Definitely would recommend. They actually have cricket traps. It's kind of like the sticky pads you use for mice, and it has something within the sticky portion that actually draws them to them. Most likely the crickets are fairly larger than your normal household bug, so it's definitely a crack or a crevice that's a little bit big so they can get in rather than like smaller ants. So I definitely will place those, like maybe if you have a garage, the garage is usually not fully sealed. You just want to put those traps in those areas where you're most frequently seeing them. And the best thing you can do is keep them at bay. Like the weather is changing, so they're looking for warmer climates.
Okay.
But you usually, I'm assuming these crickets you see like majority during like one portion of the year than the other portion. They tend to die off during the colder winters.
Well, the thing is, sometimes it's hard to detect that sound, where they're coming.
Yeah, where are they? It's annoying. It's getting on your nerves, you know.
But sometimes I use Raid, too, and that helps, you know, the spray Raid. That helps.
Well, let me say, once you start spraying the product that you get at the supermarket or the home, places where you get the hardware, that will move them further in the wall. They prefer dark, damp areas as well. And sometimes dark, dry areas as well. Now, I'm assuming you have house cricket.
Yes.
Is it black? Have you seen it or you just hear it?
I'm sorry, repeat that.
Do you hear it? Have you seen it or heard the cricket? You just hear them, correct?
Yes, I hear the sound, but it's hard to detect the sound and follow the sound and find them. So when I do, I sometimes spray it with the Raid and I put mothballs down. It seems to help at times.
Right. If the material can't get that you're applying can't get further up into the cracks where they are, it will go deeper up in there. Because once they fill the material that you're spraying on them, it'll back up a little further. So it sounds like you have a house cricket. And this is the time of year where crickets are most prevalent in homes.
Yes. Okay.
So make sure you go in and you make sure there's no cracks and crevices in that area. You'll be surprised if the smallest crack they get in.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much.
Lottie, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about pests, big and small. If you are dealing with bugs of any kind, and of course, no one wants bugs in the house. If you are having issues with mice, or if you are you know, God forbid, dealing with snakes, sometimes lizards. You know, if you're living out there in the suburbs, or as Charlie, my guest, was saying, you know, if you're, you know, living near, you know, the Potomac or the Anacostia River, sometimes you've got some wildlife that slithers into your neighborhood, something that you need to be well aware of and that you do not want visiting your household. So, look, we're talking about it. We have experts on the line, and we're going to be taking your phone calls all the way up until 8 o'clock. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Mike calling from Maryland, stay on the phone. You are next. Also, Baker calling from D.C. We're going to talk to you as well. If you can't get through, as I said, please keep trying. I promise we will take your phone call. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR.com. This continues on Sirius XM, also 96.3 HD2, the app. Download it to your smartphone, and you can listen to the program in its entirety. We'll continue this conversation in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. We are talking about pest control. The little ones, the big ones, the embarrassing ones, the scary ones, the creepies, the crawlies, the critters that are in your house and you don't want them in your house. How do you keep them out? How do you keep them from coming in? Well, we have the experts to give us a hand to help keep your house from having these unwanted guests. My guests on the phone are Van Postel, president and owner of Blazin' Pest Control, and Charlie Hawkins, home improvement expert and assistant manager at Frager's Hardware. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can certainly tweet me at HFisherWHUR or follow me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Let's go to Mike. Mike calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Mike. What's on your mind?
How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah, I'm calling because I had mice or whatever, and they creeped me out. Like, I set mice traps, and, like, I put cheese or peanut butter or whatever to try to catch them. Like, they hit the trap, but they set the traps off, but don't get caught. Like, they just don't get caught.
Okay, well, let me ask you,
go ahead.
What type of traps are you using? Are you using glue traps or are you using snap traps?
I'm using snap traps and those little sticky traps or whatever.
Okay, a lot of times with the snap traps, you have to adjust them a certain way. They can still pull the peanut butter off of it. So a lot of times you can use something like that they have to grab. You want them to be able to grab it so it'll trigger that mechanism. Because they'll stand on their two hind legs, like on their tippy toes, and reach over and lick all the peanut butter off. And then when you go to look at the trap the next day, you'll be saying to yourself, well, what happened? They're very, very agile creatures. So make sure when you look at the mechanism, you can tie a little string around a peanut and maybe put a little bit of peanut butter around the trigger part because you want him to grab it. Once he grabs it, that'll set off that trigger and you'll catch him.
Okay. Yeah, because like, it's crazy. Like I even like took cheese and put it all the way down so they can try to get it out. They did that. Got all the cheese off.
Yep.
So, Mike, the glue traps are you using? Are you using the flat ones or the ones with the lip on it?
You want the lip?
What's a lip?
The lip is. It's just. It's kind of like a step. It's just the way the trap is set up. So it's for me. I believe it's a deterrent because these mice are definitely getting like smarter by the day. So they are creatures of habit. So when you see them, you usually see them like running in the same direction or along the same baseboards. So putting that in front of, their path is definitely good because they're not thinking, they're just running, especially when they like sense humans or noise, something bigger than them, they'll just take off running back to wherever they're, holding up at. I've found that the flatter, mouse traps, the sticky ones, it's a lot better. They don't, they, they're, they're just running straight over it because they're not seeing that obstruction, right? And yeah, usually with the...
I'm sorry, go ahead and finish, Charlie.
Usually with those larger...
Hold on for a minute there, Mike. Go ahead and finish, Charlie.
Yeah. So usually with those mouse traps with the like that larger border or with the lip is more for like I would say like a DC rat, like ones that's like the size of like smaller animals, because they're not really looking at anything obstructing their path, right? They'll either walk around it or they'll just walk over it, but those are more effective with larger mice. Rats. So you live in Maryland. Like I said, I'm also a Maryland resident, so you're most likely seeing and hearing field mice, which are very small. They don't get big at all. But definitely if you want to keep going with the traps, definitely try the smaller ones, and they're definitely getting in somewhere. So, making sure your baseboards are nice and sealed. Maybe you need to probably add some door sweeps to any of the doors that is leading outside, because mice in general, bones are very, very soft, so they literally can fit in the smallest crack.
So, Charlie, are you suggesting that suburban mice in Maryland are more refined than the D.C. mice?
absolutely.
Don't mess with those DC mice. They're rough around the edges, but the more refined mice are in Maryland, out in Woodmore and out in Bowie. Those are the educated mice.
Keep in mind, mice are opportunists. So they'll go, they have a mind, I like to say, the mind of a child. You take a child, you take them to Toys R Us, he'll be all over. It'll make you think you got 20 kids running around it with one toy. So with mice, they will run all over the place. They'll have you thinking there's a hole here, hole there, hole there. There's always an entrance and an exit. But, so the gentleman that was on the line, make sure, like I said earlier, make sure you check behind your stove, pull that out, make sure there's no debris, anything that's conducive to mice, such as food, spillages, droppings, water. And also, another tip I like to give, make sure at night if you have a mouse issue, make sure you close your, put your toilet lids down. Also, make sure that your sink, your kitchen sink particularly, make sure that it has no water spillages in it. You want it bone dry. You don't give them anything, because mice can survive strictly on water for a couple of days longer than they can food. So make sure that we can eliminate their food source, especially water in particular.
Really?
Yes.
That's some... Gosh, I never thought about that. Now, because here's the thing, and Mike, thank you so much for your phone call. Good luck to you. So here's something that I find interesting. I mentioned this before. So I live in an older home. My house is 85 years old, and I don't, and I live in a brick and stone house. And I had a mouse problem years ago. I don't anymore. When I called a pest control guy, one of the things, per your information that you shared with us tonight, Van, is that he pulled out the stove and everything. And what he did was he had a big roll of steel wool.
Mm-hmm.
And he was showing me all of, some of the cracks and crevices and the like, and he took a screwdriver, a flathead screwdriver, and he pushed all of this steel wool in these cracks and crevices, and it was deep. Some of these cracks and crevices, I mean, they were really, really deep, and there were some in the, some of the original black and white tile that was put in during the 1930s and some of the other stuff. And it eliminated the problem. And the other thing that he spoke about was the very, very soft bones that that the mice had. And I've not had this problem in many, many, many years. But mm-hmm. I was just really surprised at that steel wool thing. And one of the other things that. And I'd like your opinion about this also. One of the things that was also suggested back then was it essence of peppermint to keep you know, any animals out. It may be pleasant for us to smell, but they don't really care for, you know, animals of any type, or even bugs don't really care for that smell of peppermint. Your thoughts about that, Van or Charlie?
That's absolutely true. But now here's the downside. The peppermint will wear off. It's almost like I like to use apples and oranges terms when we talk with our customers. It's like the toothache. You take an oral gel, and it'll last for 3 or 4 hours, and you got to do it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the same thing applies to mice. You apply the peppermint oil, it does work. It just repel them and move them to another side of the structure.
Okay. Okay. So,
absolutely. Yeah, I would agree.
I want to make one point about your steel wool.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, as time goes on, that steel wool, if any water hits it, as time goes on, it will get weaker and weaker and weaker, and mice will be able to pick right through it and come back through it. So that's why we prefer that you use copper wool. It's better. It lasts longer. It doesn't cut your fingers up when you're putting it into the openings. And if you use that, I would prefer that you use that. It lasts longer. And it's easier to put in the holes.
That's a good idea. I haven't had any problems in years, but I can always go back because I know where he was, mm-hmm. and where he put in, and I can do that myself and save myself some money. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Oh. Baker calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Baker. What's on your mind?
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
My problem is roaches.
Okay.
Cockroaches. I have lived in this city for 50 years, and I live in this building for 20. I've never seen the kind of roaches that I've seen. And there is nothing I can do to get rid of them. I had an exterminator. I do my own roach stuff. Nothing works. And so I went online to check what they were, because it's different kinds. And I found out that there's three different kind of roaches. The Asian roach, the American roach, and the German roaches. And they blend together, and it's hard to get rid of them. I had some work done in my kitchen, and when they took the cabinets down, they got a whole baseboard full of droppings, roach droppings. Mm. And it was so much that I could use it to, it looked just like the thing you used on your yard out there.
Mm.
And they're not gone. When he took the baseboard off, they were living down there. So when the exterminator come and exterminate a beer, they go down into the baseboard and stay until it's time for them to come out again. And my question is how to get rid of them. I think it's a health problem.
Let's see what Charlie has to say about this. Charlie, your thoughts about this?
It's definitely a number of home remedies. So what this sounds like is, since I believe you did say you stay in an apartment building, the tricky thing about roaches... Oh, it's in the house. Yeah, the thing is, you are correct as far as they seem to sense when the exterminator comes, some for the most part, they will try to hide away. It's almost impossible to get every inch of the house. The most important part is why it's hard to get rid of roaches, especially because, for one, unless it's a really, really bad infestation, you won't see them that often. But when you do start to see them, it's because they're starting to replicate. Like you're talking, a single cockroach can produce over 30,000 in a single year.
That's what
right?
I
like
was
each
saying.
Egg sac holds something like 20 to 40 baby cockroaches, right? That number gets cut down, of course, because you do have a male and a female, and of course the males don't lay eggs, but that's how an infestation can pick up very, very quickly. The best thing to do when you do see just roaches in general is to call an exterminator. And you can try home remedies, but extermination seems like you're on the right path. That's the best way to go. All of the home remedies might just deter them for a little bit, but you would have to get a very good exterminator. Maybe Van and his guys can come take a look at that
absolutely.
For you.
Okay.
But that's the best way to get rid of roaches.
Van? My question is, I also have some neighbors that travel, and when they come back from where they're coming, they put out their, they put their suitcase. They don't keep their suitcase. They throw away their suitcase out in the alley. And so I'm beginning to wonder, you know, wonder if they're bringing back these bugs and their escape, because I live in this city for 50 years and I've never seen this kind of infestation. It's bad. It's very bad.
Okay, let me touch on some of the things he was just speaking on. One thing you want to do is the same. You want to kind of apply the same thing as I was speaking about mice. You want to make sure there's no dishes, anything that's conducive to mice, so any food spillages, any water drippings, anything. You want to make sure that you have all surfaces clean, spotless. Mm-hmm. And at nighttime, make sure there's no dishes in your sink at all.
Right.
I'm also going to need you to pull your refrigerator back. Make sure there's no food spillages. A lot of times, most people put their food items and store them on top of the refrigerator, and sometimes you reach and you mess. Sometimes food spillages fall behind it, especially stoves. If you're able to pull your stove out, you want to look behind it. You want to clean the sides of your stoves, because a lot of times roaches go in between the stove and the countertop. And as you cook, most people that cook a lot, food spillages go in between the stove and the countertop from both sides. So you want to pull that stove out completely.
Yeah.
You want to make sure you sanitize that stove very thoroughly. It's crucial, because we want to make sure we eliminate. And then once you get all that done, then you pull all your items out and have it properly exterminated, done, treated. And what will happen is roaches are social, so they do everything like us humans, okay? So you want to make sure you get a material down that will eliminate the whole colony. You have different types of methods that we use to eradicate it. So we have to come in and do an inspection and see what's needed, and then we'll let you know, and it can be handled.
Yeah. And can I just add, because, you know, I talk about, you know, cooking a lot, and I will tell you, Baker, I cook a lot. And one of the things that I have learned over the years is just what Van is talking about. And well, I haven't had any problems with the bugs, but I have learned that, you know, spillage is always, you know, an issue if you're doing soups and sauces and stuff like that. And so that means, as tired as you may be after a day of cooking, that when that stove cools off, you know, go ahead and pull it out. If you have a stove that is easily removed, and wipe it down on the sides and push it back in. Look behind the stove. You know, unfortunately, I have a stove that's easily removed. I pull it all the way out.
That's the problem I was having. I had a tight space. So between there.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing now. We're pulling out everything, and that's when we find these mounds and mounds of roaches and roach droppings.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've got to keep that area clean back there. But, you know, good luck to you, and thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ray, calling from D.C. Thanks for hanging on, Ray. You've got a question that's really popular with a lot of people. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I have a problem with that. And it's not like a whole bunch of them. It's enough to get on my nerve, and it's only in the kitchen sink. And I don't cook much, so I don't understand why they're coming in and how to get rid of them. Every now and then I think I got rid of them, and then, you know, I'll see maybe one, and the next thing I know I have a little colony again.
You're talking about gnats and fruit flies, right?
Yeah, yeah, I guess it's what it is, fruit flies, okay. I call them gnats.
Yeah,
they get on my nerves.
They believe they're actually drain flies. You know, they cultivate inside of drains and they come out. They are very similar to gnats and fruit flies. They are so small that they look almost similar, like they look exactly like them, but it's actually drain flies. They live in kitchens, kitchen sinks, showers and bathtubs, basement sinks, sewers, septic tanks, you know, soil that contains sewage, like compost piles, just in a very moist area. It's actually a couple remedies for that. You can do some home remedy, something that can treat your drain. They have, like, the small tablets that you can put down your drain that wipes them out. It's just once they get out of the drain and they become a little, you know, a lot more annoying, you would use a standard fruit fly trap or maybe some sticky paper. But the first thing you definitely would have to do is get rid of wherever they're living at, which is the drain. So you would want to definitely treat that drain first.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to pour bleach down in the drain or something like that?
No.
I mean, it's multiple remedies, but definitely don't put bleach down there.
Mm-mm,
right. Mm. What you want to do is you have that little rubber black flap most sinks have.
Right.
If you lift that up with, like, a screwdriver and you take the screwdriver and swirl it around, it'll almost like grayish black toothpaste where they actually breathe in that. They don't drown because when you pour the water there, it doesn't go all the way up in it. That part, and it just stays moist. And then they breathe, right, and then they come out, and then they fly around, and that's what's going on. So even if you kill the adults that's flying around, it's going to be a continuous problem because you want to make sure those flaps are clean.
Okay.
Okay, you do that, okay, and you can go to your local dollar store or something and get it like a bowl cleaner. They have them actually for those sinks in the kitchen. And you take, okay, it, and when you put the material in there, you twist it, the foam that he was just speaking about, and you twist it, and the brushes will get the material up in there and kill all the eggs, the larvae, and you should see a reduction in drain glass.
All right, thank you very much. It's worth a shot. Thank you very much.
And before you go, let me also suggest, and this was something that was suggested to me years ago and has also worked, when you go to the grocery store, when you buy fresh fruit, sometimes there are fruit fly eggs on the fruit, you know, whether it be bananas, okay, or melons. Rinse, when you bring that stuff home, you got to rinse your fruit off.
Okay, cool.
Before you leave it, you know, you may leave your bananas out. Don't just take them out of the bag and just sit them on the table. You rinse them off. Because if you don't, those eggs will hatch while you're waiting for the bananas to ripen.
Okay.
And eventually you will, and you're like, where are these fruit flies coming from? And okay, that's because those eggs that were on the fruit flies, I mean, on the fruit or vegetables or whatever, and the grocery store, they've hatched at your house. And then, you know, so you've got, you may have them in the drain and you got them in the dining room and then, you know, you got all kinds of drama. So,
okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome. Let's go to Patricia. Patricia, you've got a zoo at your house, I see.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, we go right ahead.
I seem to have, I don't know if they're lizards, if they're salamanders, some people call them cricks, but I have them in my backyard, and sometimes they'll come in the front, walk across my, that's, they're little, they're, some of them are black, and they have like maybe a royal bluish tail at the end, and one came into my house, came right under my door. A door was shut, and of course I was screaming and hollering. I don't know what to do about that. We never used to have them before.
Where do you live in Maryland?
I mean, in Pasadena.
Pasadena.
Oh, yeah.
That's Anne Arundel County, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, she's out there near the water. Okay.
Yeah, those are definitely frequent. That's actually, that particular species is actually called a coal skink. So a skink is the correct terminology for it. It's a northern quill skink. They actually, the tail is quite beautiful. It has a very blue, vibrant tail, but like they are a pest. They're very fast. It's very hard to physically catch them. The best thing you could do to prevent them is, try to probably add a door sweep to that door that you've seen one actually come in. Mm-hmm. Want to make sure all of your openings are sealed because they're really not as determined as most pests. Like, they get distracted very easily. Like, they'll run into a wall, they realize it's a wall, and they'll just turn around and shoot the other way.
Mm-hmm.
They're really not looking for food. They're more looking for a warmer place, even though they are cold-blooded mm-hmm. animals. But they definitely are a pest, and I have to deal with those all the time. I actually stay in Clinton.
They're not poisonous now, are they?
No, no. You can actually touch one, but I wouldn't.
But who would want? Patricia is not interested in touching it.
Let me take it back one more thing. Actually, pepper spray will actually work. That will help repel them. And also remember, one of their number one diet is crickets. So this is the time of year that you're going to be seeing it.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So they're actually crickets. They're actually your friends, but it's just freaked out. We get freaked out when we see them. So they love crickets. So this is cricket season. You know,
remember
they're cold blooded, so they can't control their temperature. So they got to stay warm constantly. Mm-hmm. So you may sometimes see him on a cement or something just basking. You walk up to him, he runs real fast.
Mm-hmm.
That's very common. So if you get you some local pepper spray, that may do the trick for you.
I'm sure that Patricia is only interested in seeing the Geico cricket, but no, I mean Geico lizard, but none of those other lizards in her house. Suzanne, calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling, Suzanne. What's on your mind?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I have these centipede like little critters. They're about maybe inch and a half or so with lots of little legs. I find them in my basement, but most recently I found one on my bed and he was big. So I walked away and closed the door and said, I'll deal with him later. But they're in my basement, and I wonder if there's moisture in the basement that's attracting them, because I've had some water down there, but they just kind of pop up when I least expect them, and they're fast, and I try to kill them, and then they run away. So that's my problem, centipedes.
Absolutely. They definitely are attracted to damp areas in your house. So definitely try to, you definitely will have to thoroughly clean the damp areas. Try to remove any type of, I would say, a home for them. So, like, I tell a lot of people just to reduce pests in general, like, you have to cut out their habitat that they're trying to make inside your house. So, like, when you wash your clothes, like, I wouldn't leave your clothes in a pile sitting somewhere. Even if you have dirty clothes, like, put them, like, just try to clean up as much as possible, but definitely the moisture is going to be like the number one attractant for those household centipedes.
Got it. And I, you know, someone told me boric acid, you could put boric acid around like the perimeter of the basement or where you think they're coming in. Is that something you would recommend or not?
Absolutely. See, just to touch on what Van spoke about earlier, it's kind of like peppermint oil. It's going to be temporary. Boric acid actually repels and or can kill a number of household pests, but like Van said earlier, it definitely is temporary.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Wow. You know, thank you, Suzanne. You just brought up a really great point about a pile of clothes in the basement. You know, a pile of dirty clothes. Because there have been times, even in my utility room where the washer and dryer are, you've got some old clothes and you just kind of throw them on the, you may be doing loads and loads, and then you get tired and you may have a pile, and of course then you go back the next day and then you pick it up and what do you get? There may be a centipede that crawls out or something. So you're suggesting that, and that's, it's what, damp? It's dark underneath there, and that's where they crawl. So what, you suggest you keep them in a basket or?
Yeah, definitely. A basket, or just try to get more into the habit. Like, I know everyone's schedule is different, but just try to get in the habit of just reducing as much clutter as possible, like, along with eliminating, like, their food source. Because, like I said, those type of household centipedes, they, like, their food chain is other insects. So definitely, if you're seeing multiple insects, which if you see these centipedes, you probably will see less other insects, spiders and such, ants, because that's what they actually feast on. But yeah, just the same, you know, creating a barrier, maybe with like some home defense from Ortho, she can definitely do the boric acid. But that of course will you know, fade off after a while. Eliminating food source, removing, or we're just reducing clutter and definitely reducing the moisture. Like, they love moisture.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. And also do a thorough vacuuming as well before she applies.
Absolutely.
It.
So how can people first contact you, Van, if they need to get information about your services, or if they have questions? Where can they find you, either on the web, or you have a phone number, or what?
Yes, they can contact me at Van Blazing Pest Control, blazingpestcontrol.com, and they can also reach us at 301-523-2138.
2138.
And the email would be blazingpest@aol.com.
You said blazingpest@aol.com. blazingpest@aol.com. Okay, and for you, Charlie, do they just call Fragers to contact you?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And as always, that information will be on our website at whur.com, along with this podcast, as it is every single night. Well, let me tell you, I now know that I will not have to buy a lightsaber or a machine gun to battle any more spiders or centipedes or anything else at my house. This has been truly an informative show. Gentlemen, thank you so very, very much. And the only pests I need to worry about are the ghosts, goblins, and witches coming to my house this weekend. Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks for having me.
No problem.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, October 29th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryan, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.